informal discussions with the Giang Suchin in Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh City and Mui Ne. January 2016. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Hung, Lan, Robert, Kevin and Sarah.
And Kevin's brought up the possible conclusion then, if someone goes and sits in a room cross-legged and concentrates on something maybe, it's the same thing as someone like me or Jonathan going swimming. We were just getting around to seeing if there was a difference. And Jonathan was saying it depends possibly on the motive. Is that right, Tom? Yes, is that where we are?
Is there understanding of that very moment? It doesn't matter what one is doing or thinking, but it depends on understanding.
So are we saying the person sitting in the room can have understanding just the same?
At moment of understanding, can there be understanding? At moment of sitting, what condition understanding of sitting?
Sorry,
what condition understanding of sitting?
Understanding of sitting or understanding
what? Okay, while one is sitting, what condition the understanding of sitting? Because one sits and one thinks that I am sitting. So what is the understanding of sitting?
Well, sitting is not a dharma.
So. It doesn't matter at all. Because each reality can be known to panya, not to ignorance at all. At moment of sitting, what conditions understanding of sitting to know that what sitting is? No. We are talking about understanding.
Is there a difference between sitting and swimming in this example?
We just talk about understanding.
Yeah, well, understanding can arise.
So at moment of sitting, moment of swimming, is there any condition for understanding to arise and understand reality at that moment?
So it's totally dependent on
that. On what?
On past accumulations, on hearing the Dhamma, on whether it's the right time for understanding to arise. So it doesn't matter what one is doing.
As long as there is understanding, there must be the understanding of no self at that very moment. Otherwise, I am sitting, I'm swimming, the same idea of I all the time. So now, what condition understanding with direct awareness of whatever appears is just the same as swimming, but now it's sitting. So what condition the understanding of whatever now is while sitting? Otherwise, there must be the idea of self or I all the time and take the rule like do this or do that. But what about understanding? No matter what, doing this or that, without understanding or with understanding, they're different. Sitting is not different, but it is object of ignorance or object of understanding.
Okay, Anjan, if understanding can arise while sitting now, while swimming, while meditating, what does it seem?
But what you call meditating? This is the point.
Exactly.
Let's just call it an act of sitting and closing eyes as what people understand.
So swimming, sitting, meditating, if there is no condition for understanding, no understanding, even one is thinking that I'm meditating, but no condition for understanding, so what's the use?
Does it come down to what Jonathan was sort of hinting at, that motivation is part of the issue? Because if someone goes swimming, they're not thinking I'm going to be aware, but awareness may arise while swimming. If someone's doing yoga, they're not thinking this is the time I will have awareness. But for the yogi, they are thinking this is my special time where awareness is going to accumulate. That's the way I see it, which is slightly different from the swimmer or the yoga person or the
and
shopper or whatever.
What is yogi?
That's the term they were using today. I heard yogi pop up a few times.
But if you don't understand, we just talk about yogi without understanding.
Chitta seeker with
Kusa,
is it?
Virya. Virya. For what? To be a yogi? Virya to swim? we are to sit, or what yogi kind of we are.
Effort with yeah. right understanding, that's the meaning of yogi.
So it's not only follow the word without understanding at all. At moment of listening, developing understanding, is it not yogi?
Yes.
So what yogi means?
It's kusala.
Understanding. The development of understanding, which takes virya.
I kind of sympathize.
As parami.
I kind of sympathize that when people hear this and they consider their old practice possibly, or the way of practice of sitting for a long period, it seems like there's a lot of virya when someone's doing something.
Wrong virya. Wrong virya.
Yes.
Wrong eightfold path.
Then again, someone like me who just lives a very lackadaisical life in a way, looking after children, working and so on, could go the other way. You know,
don't talk about development of understanding, because no understanding at all. It has to begin from hearing, considering, until it is the satyayana, not only pariyatti, because pariyatti is not just read or hear the teaching, but understand skillfully the meaning of the Buddha's word, for which points out the truth of reality, each word. So we can start with any word, but understanding it, not just follow it without understanding at all.
Well, what about
virya,
if you
mentioned? Yeah, it arises with how many cittas? That arises with that arises with 18 ahetuka cittas only. So even at moment of wrong understanding, there is virya. At moment of moha mula citta, there is virya. See? So that's why Buddha taught, because he knew that nobody can understand reality as he at all. That's why he taught out of his passion, not people to go wrong by one's own imagination of thinking. Talking about virya, can anyone condition virya? Or is condition to arise with a certain moment only by not anyone at all?
So you're saying because virya doesn't appear with the ahetuka citta, but they also
18,
yeah, but they appear in the kusala and the kusala teacher.
Really?
No, I asked you.
Because,
sorry, what do you mean?
Because you see that there are only citta and cetasikas,
yeah.
But it's not the object.
Right?
It's not object of ignorance and attachment. It can be object of right understanding at level of patipatti. And what does patipatti mean?
Patipatti is the direct understanding, yeah.
Of
realities as they are.
Right now.
Yeah.
Can anyone condition it to arise?
No.
So only.
But I want to clarify what you mean by virya. Disappear.
And I just talk about reality. I said, can it be object of ignorance like virya? Can anyone try to have it with the idea of I? Try to have virya as object? Possible?
No.
No, possible. So all realities can be object of panya, right understanding. It depends on what degree of panya. Intellectual understanding is not patipatti. So citta now, cetasik now, cannot be object of citta at this level of intellectual understanding. That's why one is so truthful about the three levels of panya understanding. Pariyatti is listening to the teachings of the Buddha. But the word is very subtle, even dhamma. All dhammas are anatta. We keep on thinking about it. Is it all now? Seeing? Is it anatta? Hearing? Thinking? Attachment? Aversion? Are they anatta now? it's only intellectual understanding. But if it can be just only intellectual understanding, what would it teach? Because many people in his time became arahata from hearing an accumulation from eons and eons ago of right understanding.
When you mention pariyatti, patipatti, and all these three terms, they never appeared in the Buddha's words. They only appeared in the commentaries, literature, and is there...
So what about Satyayana? Is it there in Tipitaka?
No, I'm not familiar with
it. Satyayana. In
Satyayana.
Is there Satyayana in the teachings of the Buddha?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what is that? The Buddha's word contains understanding. So it doesn't mean that I don't know Satyayana, but I would follow such and such. It has to be understanding from the beginning. Just one word about a reality, one reality at a time. Right? There is the term Satyayana in Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta.
Yes, right.
What is it? If there is no understanding, shall we follow the method in order to know it? It's impossible. So Satyayana can anyone have without hearing the teachings? And what is Pariyatti?
Pariyatti is the intellectual understanding of the Buddha's words.
See the Buddha's word? Until it's so very skillful of understanding the real meaning of each word. And when it's so firm, it is Satyayana. Never turn away from reality right now. Because only that which appears is conditioned. But it arises and falls away so very quickly. That's why there is also the nimitta of each reality. That's why there is the rupa nimitta now. And Vedana Nimitta, Sanya Nimitta, Sankhara Nimitta, and Vinyana Nimitta. But as it appears, we don't have to think whether it's the past or the future one. The succession of the arising and falling away is still there to begin to understand. Moment of seeing. That is because of Satyayana. Otherwise, we turn away. It's like turn the back to the Buddha. Go somewhere.
How do we turn away?
Not understanding that Panya knows whatever appears only, because that which has gone cannot be object for Panya to see the truth, and the next which hasn't come yet cannot condition right understanding of the arising and falling away, because it hasn't come yet. So only whatever appears now is the object of right understanding. When there are conditions, Satyayana, enough to condition sammasati by anattaness, not by I try and I prepare and I intend and I will do, so it will appear. Because actually, even sammasati, the characteristic of sammasati, can it be known when it does not arise? If it does not arise. See? So when Panya is developed on and on, even no intention, no thinking about it, but there are conditions for sammasati to arise, because one has learned about it, and one knows that what does it understand. So patti is particular, and patti is approaching, reaching the truth of reality right now with right understanding by conditions. This is the most important. From the beginning to the end, no matter it's pariyatti or patipatti or pativeta, it is a development of right understanding only to the degree of realization of the truth that we have heard long, long, many, many life or now again and again, that seeing arises to see. So at moment when it appear, it means that right understanding is there so that it can appear to right understanding that what is that which experiences, not I anymore, because the characteristic of nama, dhamma is there, and the characteristic of rupa is there. No doubt about with no I at all, there's no I, because only moment of only two characteristics appears, no world as before. So it's now.
In most of our Dhamma discussions like this, I feel that we repeat mostly the same thing.
Yes, what for?
So, yeah, because it's the truth, right? Mm-hmm. It's the reality. There's no other way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But should we just relax and do our things and wise consider the Dhamma, or we have to come to this session so many times and hearing the same thing?
Is that not expectation to understand Dhamma, but it's not the right way?
Because the more we come, the more we hear new words, the more we get agitated with intellectual understanding here and there. Should we just relax and just...
It indicates it's you who study.
Sorry.
No understanding of reality as not you. So it brings about the idea of shall I do this or shall I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the wrong studying of Abhidhamma.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't eliminate the mm-hmm. idea of self at all.
So
how deeply rooted it is.
My question is, like you explained the Dhamma well, explained, right? And then whether I hear you now or I hear you many other times, it's the same thing.
But
right?
It's you who hear.
Yeah.
It's you who think. It's you who think that I understand. Mm. So there is the idea to do something.
Mm.
Should I come here or keep coming, or should I just stay at home and relax? It's the idea of, it's like, should I go swimming or should I go somewhere else?
Mm.
It's not understanding Dhammas are conditioned at that moment.
Of course, it's just a conventional way of language to ask you a question. I can't let you know my thinking if I don't use language.
Okay.
You know?
But you see, there are how many worlds?
Sorry?
How many worlds are there?
World.
I don't know.
So begin with what is the world?
The world, you mean?
What is a world in the Buddha's teaching?
You have the Buddha's
loka.
Loka, but...
Yes, what is it? Start with what is it?
Okay, so loka is the plane of existence, a condition, and a being reborn due to condition.
What is the Pali meaning of loka?
World, of course,
World?
Yeah.
What is it?
I just explained, it's a plane of existence.
That is one meaning. But there are more meanings.
Ananda asked the Buddha one time, what is meant by the world?
Could be another understanding is like the human world.
And what about the end of the world?
Yeah, all that kind of unanswered questions.
So is it now the understanding of the world in the teachings of the Buddha?
The teaching?
Yes.
It's nothing to do with our understanding.
So,
teaching is just information.
What is the world in the teachings of the Buddha?
In what sense?
In truth.
In the truth.
Absolute truth.
It's just a reality that nama and rupa, that... a process of nama and rupa ongoingly.
If nothing arises at all, can there be a world?
No.
No. So the world is when whatever arises, that is the world. If nothing arises, there would be no world at all. So is seeing a world loka?
Sure. This is a difficult question.
Because you see, if nothing
arises,
just start with, if there is nothing arising at all, is there any world?
No.
No, for sure. But now seeing.
Is something arising?
So, and it falls away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a world because it arises. So there is a world.
Mm.
If not, there's no world. So
sure
each word should conform.
No,
we don't have to do.
Yes.
Just understand. Reality right now, even just one word, like loka. whatever arises is a world. But so many conditions for the arising of everything now, and no understanding of how it arises, we take the whole world as world of people and things. But actually, there must be different realities arising by conditions and far away, even right now. So, if there's nothing arise, can there be the idea of I?
I still haven't got the answer from you about listening more Dhamma.
This is Dhamma, and this is listening.
How do you listen? At this moment.
No, Dhamma,
but it shouldn't be my understanding, it should be the listener's understanding.
Sharing, not yeah. Dhamma as a...
This is Dhamma, Lokottara Dhamma, Abhidhamma. Abhidhamma too. Very subtle.
Yeah, but it could be at the moment I'm driving out there, it's the same Dhamma, you know?
Any
so
moment.
So why do I have to be here listening to you?
If you know, think that it's useful, if you think that it is the Buddha's word, and if you think and you understand that only his word can condition right understanding, not your own thinking, not your any other guidance at all.
And one of the what's called the punya kriya wattu is tatujika, and that's correcting one's views, and that's how I consider when I listen to Ajahn. It helps me to correct my views about what is the path and what's not the path.
So what about other moments? If Ajahn is not there, then you don't have that view.
From hearing, it would be your own understanding. Ah. I do not have to follow you.
That's my question.
The thing is like, Kevin, you can't just hear it once and say, oh, I've got it, and then develop understanding. It has to be heard again and again.
I think they're talking to the sutras all over the commentary about the advantage of being somewhere and your Dharma is available. You can go to the temple in the Buddha's time and listen to Dharma at your convenience when you wish to. Like you're in a good place where from time to time you have the possibility to go and listen, and you know, and then back to your normal routine, and that's said to be a good place,
yeah.
And it's available like that.
And one of the vital supports for development of understanding is having a good friend, and the Buddha reminded throughout the suttas having a kalyana mitta, having a really good friend. Ananda asked the Buddha once, he said, having good friends, that's half the holy life, half the brahmacharya. And the Buddha said, no, it's the whole.
But the Buddha also reminded, do not be attached to the teacher. You know, you have to really experience.
And the really good friend is the Buddha himself. Yeah. So essentially what we're discussing is the Buddha's teachings. And it's not a matter of how much one reads or how much one listens, but it's the wise considering, the questioning and the considering. So once someone may just listen a little but really consider quite a lot, and someone else may listen for years but still go away with an idea of I can too. So it just depends on the wise considering and the questioning. It's not a matter of the situation. But if one hasn't heard about and considered very carefully about dharmas, for sure there'll be an idea of I can do, or situation,
and
or something.
Some people come to Dhamma discussion just to show off the reading, you know, and then get into the debates, and then without listening the content, you know. I think it's kind of useless. Yeah.
So that's the benefit of discussion. No matter they think that way or the other thing the other way, but the truth is the truth. So. We would like to hear and understand the truth. So when the words are about the truth, that's the right word. But when it's not conditioned, right understanding of whatever appears, is that the Buddha's words or the other's words?
Another thing one can say is that the same thing heard at different times, later times, can be better understood. So although in a sense one is hearing the same thing, said over and over again, it's not like that, because if understanding is being developed, it's more meaningful.
Actually, Nina gives a good example in one of her books about the bhikkhu starts with an N, I can't pronounce his name, but he gave a discourse to the nuns about the butcher carving up a cow. Do you remember that one, Nina?
Yes.
And then the Buddha said to him, he said, "Where have you been?" And he said, "I gave a discourse to the nuns." And he said, "I want you to go back to the nuns and repeat exactly the same discourse."
Yeah.
And on the second discourse, all of the nuns became some level of attainment. Exactly the same discourse, but at the same time.
Yeah, again, yeah, very good.
And the value of discussion is really questioning and having one's ideas discussed, and otherwise one just thinks all the way in the way one's used to thinking. One reads a sutta or reads the Abhidhamma and it seems clear, but if one's ideas are not questioned, then it's easy to misunderstand.
Yeah, so I thought Jonathan made a really good point in that it's not just coming along and listening to the same thing. In a way it is listening to the same thing, but we're able to listen in different ways, which will help understanding to grow. I find that so helpful.
I mean, I'm talking about the truth of the world.
Truth of the world, we're having Dhamma discussion and suddenly thinking about something quite different, or that this is natural, this is the ordinary way, so it's not like trying not to think that way or not have attachment, but just understand whatever arises now. Like Ajahn suddenly thought about the painting left in the room, but this is just natural. We can suddenly think of anything, and it's just not trying to stop or change it, but just understanding very naturally.
When a picture that arises in the mind door like that, what is the condition? Because, you know, you obviously have something to do with the painting before, but there's no memory, it's all just process, you know? So how could that idea of the painting appear again in your dasanya?
If there's no memory of the painting, I couldn't have such question.
No, memory doesn't exist in Buddhism.
Yes, sanya.
It's not memory, it's not something you store, it's just...
It's just a trance thing, sanya.
So it remembers.
So that's why there can be thinking about that picture.
And recognize.
But if it completely falls, then what is the tendency for it to carry on?
Every moment. What does Abhidhamma say about sanya?
Chittasika, rising and falling away. Marking the object.
And more than that?
Marking and remember.
More than that? A little more than that.
Not sure what else.
It arises with each moment of citta.
Universal.
So you cannot prevent it arising at all.
So no matter what citta happens next, it's always got sanya there, marking and remember the previous
the moment.
Experience.
The moment.
And the question is, how can people forget previous lifetime? Because most of us forget our previous life.
But it's possible.
Why is that?
It's possible.
Because it's gone, and sanya masa, present one.
So why do we remember the painting and
it's
we don't remember
accumulated,
the past life?
Accumulated.
Do you remember what you did?
So the past life also belongs to a sequence, you know, that
there's conditions. Now, if I ask you whether you remember what happened this morning, you can't remember it, right? So even this morning, many things you can't remember. Mm-hmm. So the same, when there are enough conditions for past life to be remembered, it will happen. But when there are not enough conditions, it don't.
Yeah, of course we can say it in a rough sense, but most of us completely forget the past life, but we can't say that
there's
a very small amount of people who practice whatever that they can remember the past life.
Practice what in order to remember past life?
Lots of people attend the jhana to...
But we don't talk about jhana yet. We talk about the beginning of understanding whatever appears. Yeah. So what is jhana? Again?
A reality? Sorry?
Is it a reality?
Yeah, it's got
Are you talking about jhana pajya or jhana citta?
Citta and citta sika that arise together according to the lokas, different realms.
But that's not enough to understand the akusala citta and kusala citta of different levels.
I'm not sure what we're discussing.
One word at a time.
Yeah.
We don't jump across everything,
yeah,
which now happens.
So are we discussing about jhanas?
Whatever you like.
Yeah.
The
it's
truth,
it's
the truth. We just would like to understand the truth, yeah, of reality right now.
When Kevin first arrived, he said with his PhD, he interviewed many people, and he found the biggest problem with with Buddhists is doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was interesting, because one of the things I've been lucky with, I feel, in my Dharma life is I've always had confidence in the Theravada teaching and the scriptures and the texts and the commentaries. I think that's been a great sort of support. You know, even though understanding may not be that great, it's just somehow that's been present. I think Nina's always felt the same. When you read the Abhidharma too, you just felt that was all right, you know, somehow. But I know a lot of people struggle with it. I see on internet forums, people don't know whether they should do Theravada or Dharmakaya or Mahayana or go back to early Buddhism and get rid of the commentaries. Was Buddhaghosa right or wrong? People have all these doubts.
It's not that kind of doubt.
Oh,
it's the doubt of the mental quality. What do I attain? I think it's the biggest doubt. This is just something that I'm researching the Vietnamese Buddhists, and the biggest spiritual problem.
Yes.
And 100% out of 100% the people speak of doubt. And then I ask them, what doubt? And then first, biggest doubt is, I don't know where I am, what kind of mental quality I have. And I'm not sure attainment or quality, whether I'm better than myself yesterday or not.
Because of clinging to an idea of self and doubt, not because of not understanding about realities. That's what it all comes down to. Because Sada has to develop with right understanding, and if there's no understanding about realities, bound to be so much clinging to an idea of self, and bound to be so much doubt.
A type of people who are Sada Musari, those that who have very strong faith, but because of that, they incline to the teaching of the Buddha, and they will surely get to the level of understanding. Do you have any comment about it? Because according to your explanation, without the correct understanding, you never understand. But the Buddha said that how could a tree, you know, inclining to the east that fall otherwise if you cut the root? So if those with very strong faith, then they would, you know, attain the understanding.
Very strong sadha, but no understanding, and they will become enlightened, is that
right? I'm not sure if that sutta means, but it seems like Saddhanusari and Panyanusari are two types of people. Those who have a very strong tendency in understanding, and those who have very strong tendency in faith. What? Sarakani Sutta?
The person with Sutta, in this case, will also have panya allied with it.
Panya will have sadha,
but
different accumulations. So one may be stronger, but in order to develop any attainment, there must be very strong panya for sure.
Is there doubt now?
Yes.
Is it real?
Yes.
Is it you?
No, it's just reality.
See, no you. When we study each reality as it is, they cannot be taken as anything at all, except it arises by conditions and falls away. This is the beginning to be very firm, confident in the teachings that just thought about reality right now, even doubt is real. Is it when it's not you? So what is it? It's real. It arises. It appears. But it's not I. So what is it?
It's a kusala. It's an unwholesome mental state.
Yeah. It indicates perfectly no self at all.
Do you want it? Do you want it?
How can I want it?
Right. Well, it's there, right? So it's just beyond control. When it arises, and then it's gone.
So the idea of self, which clings so much to whatever it is, at moment of doubt, it's I. Actually, it's only a reality. And Panya can't understand it as a self, so it doesn't mind at all what reality appears, because all reality is conditioned to arise. That is the way to letting go the idea of self with understanding of that particular object right then.
Question about the thought process of the 17 moments, all that technical stuff. Is that useful to for our understanding? Because
how many moments for thought 17 process?
17 moments for a typical, let's say, sense those babanga and start arrested and, you know, registering and all these things, javanas.
So, before thinking, what's there?
Just stream of bhavanga.
Bhavanga?
Yeah.
And after bhavanga, what arises?
Just vibrating.
After the bhavangas?
Arrest, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then after the bhavangas?
Yeah, the four bhavangas, like three. Yeah, three. And then starting the adverting things like that, yeah.
What is meant by what you call it?
Vibration.
Vibrating?
I'm not interested much in that stuff. That's why I asked you whether it's
but
useful.
But there can be understanding of what is there.
Well, vibrating is the impact of the object on the stream of Pavanga.
Can there be Pavanga after vibrating Pavanga?
There's one more, the arrest. Yeah.
So, after that?
After that, it's taken by a different type of chitta.
What are they? In order to understand not self at all.
Adverting.
Yeah, and then since the ahituka.
Adverting is not you, right? Can it select the object of thinking?
No.
See, all conditioned. Yeah? So learn to understand any moment, any reality as not self. Because it cannot be eradicated just by thinking of I, doubt, see, or I think. So what things?
My question is that understanding is useful or not?
Very. Buddha taught out of his great wisdom and compassion. Each word for the understanding of the listeners, not his own at all.
To really understand that there are only dhammas that are anatta, so that's the only purpose of studying about the details in the sense door process, to really make it clear that not anyone who chooses to see or can stop seeing, but each citta has to arise in order by conditions beyond anyone's control, whether then or now or while sitting or swimming or any other time, just condition dhammas at each moment.
So whether you like or not, the object is there, the process is there,
right.
And then without attachment to the wrong
to view, like or not anyway, yeah. So just one citta after another arising with particular citta seekers and falling away instantly. No one can select, no one can do anything.
At a very sharp, developed stage of awareness, do you think that people really see the process happening? Because I think it's just one split of a second, billions of them, how can a human capacity appreciate that?
Can there be a right understanding of that which experienced now?
I'm not sure. In theory, yeah, the Buddha thought so.
But why did Buddha teach?
I'm not sure if in reality that, you know, our mental capability can allow us.
Let me think in terms of ours or me. Right. It's panya that will understand, and my understanding is that only the panya of a Buddha could really possibly Sariputta. But that doesn't really matter, it's only speculation, and it doesn't really help us. Mm. But the purpose of studying Abhidhamma, as Sarah just pointed out, was that it helps to build the theory to realize that it's all a process, it's about anatta, it's not about a person. Mm. And the more, when one looks at the incredible, finely calibrated nature of the Abhidhamma, it's quite an amazing thing. One can be impressed intellectually, but it's not an intellectual trick. It's there to help people understand.
That's exactly why
that realities are not self.
I think
that point is really easy to overlook. It's easy to look like now we're forgetting mostly that realities are appearing. Mm. That Abhidhamma is not a story. Mm. It's not just an intellectual kind of game that we can play and tell off how we know Bhuanga Chana, Bhangal Pacheda, Pancha Dryer Watchana. They're just words. They can be meaningless words, totally meaningless words. But they can help us to remind us that there's a process happening right now which we are mostly forgetful of, and always putting self in there. I experience.
But my question is, when we are enlightened, do we experience that process? You think?
It's not we, it's under a sense.
It's just panya, because there's no we, right? It's just.
No, I think we shouldn't debate about words. Well, just the way we explain that for an enlightened being, the Buddha used the word being. So, we think that the enlightened being can really experience the process?
It depends what appears at the moment. No choosing or selecting anything. Mm. So it depends whether seeing will appear.
But all the details we read and hear about are because of the omniscient wisdom of the Buddha. Yeah. So it's not for
seeing in sequence, for example.
And some will not be. You know, it's the Buddha's wisdom that knows them. It's not others. Even many of the arahats wouldn't be able to go through some of these processes. But it doesn't help understanding now, I don't think.
No, I think it's so important to realize that there's the chemistry.
I was just going to say, but I think that where you're coming from is some people talk about experiencing all the details of the processes,
yes.
Like some teachers,
yes.
Some, yeah, they say they can see all the kalapas and they can they can see the impermanence of realities of processes. Impossible.
Possible?
Impossible.
Ajahn? Kalapas, can they be known? Yes.
The details.
Samasarayana.
I'm talking about knowing all the cheetahs and the processes.
No, exactly, the 17 processes.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
To describe it like a Buddha.
Yeah.
We don't try to find out. Just one moment.
You just said in the middle there, you said it doesn't help us understand now. What did you mean?
Well, trying to figure out does the enlightened being understand? All of the 17 cheetahs in the process.
Oh, that doesn't help us.
Yeah.
But does knowing about those in theory help us?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
But I think that where Kevin's coming from is, yes, so some meditation teachers who are Abhidhamma scholars as well, they talk about knowing all the cheetahs in processes and this and that, and in their deep meditations all of these details can be known. One doesn't have to accept or believe everything that one hears.
And that sort of which I think I often think of when there is speculation is that Malankya Putta Sutta, and the Buddha said, I come to teach about ill, its arising, its ceasing, and the path leading to that, a Malinkya put always wanted to know all these different types of speculative questions, and the Buddha said, if you were shot by an arrow, Malinkya Putta, would you like to know who made the arrow, who was the fletcher who put on the feathers, who was the person who, what kind of wood did the tree that made the arrow, what kind of clan the person who fired the arrow. He said, by that time you would be dead if I told you all those different things. What I come to talk about is ill, its cause, its ceasing, and the path to it. And now Jhana's always reminding us of those factors of what's known as the Four Noble Truths, that there are realities now that can be known that will enable wisdom to grow, to break through this massive wall of ignorance that has accumulated over billions of lifetimes. And it is a slow process, and we have to be so patient. And questions are really, really helpful, but there's a point when speculation may not be so helpful. And that's important for us to know, what is speculation, or what is a true question that will help us to grow in wisdom.
I can remember when we were in Sri Lanka, one of those monks at the session said that he studies with a teacher maybe in Myanmar or somewhere who talks about how one can understand the Bawanga cheetahs and this and that. And so people follow because it's appealing, or they can then understand all the cheetahs and the processes. But impossible if there's no understanding now of what appears now commonly and ordinarily in life, and there's no understanding now of reality is anatta, then impossible to just focus on an object and go into deep meditation and know these. So, no understanding from beginning to end.
In our discussion, several times we speak of
When what?
Another Dhamma.
What kind of Dhamma?
Rupa.
Yes.
And Namma.
Yeah.
Another visible object. Well, we seem to have discussions about different types of panya, different levels, different intensity of sati, for example. But in the text, I find no reference.
What do you mean by intensity?
Like sharp. But I find no reference in the text that the Abhidhamma talks about the intensity of citta and cittasika, weak or strong. I find no reference. So I want.
Do you need any reference or write down?
No, is that the right? Under the teaching of the Buddha, where the citta and cittasika have different strengths or not? Because it seems that they are different strengths.
You think that the sotapanna, the sotapanna panya is the same than the arhatas panya?
Or panya that is arising now?
Oh, panya, it's just very moment. We can't say the panya of the sotapanna. It just they eradicate certain fetters, and then panya is there, and other things that accompany there. But I don't think that, the quality of the panya of this level is less or more than the quality of panya in other levels, because there's no reference in the teaching about that. I would like to get clarity from you.
Is there no different level panya of sotapanna, sakatagami, anagami, arhata?
Depends on what you mean by panya. If it,
the penetration of the truths.
The right
intensity.
Moment. Yeah, the intensity.
It's different. Because panya develops.
Mm-hmm. Appears or not. I don't think anything develops. Well, yes or no. Arise or not arise.
But what about...
According to the Abhidhamma...
What is the bhavana? What develops in bhavana?
I don't know what you mean by that. But so, whether it arises or not arises, that's the teaching.
So what is meditation?
Sorry?
So what is meditation?
I don't know what that means.
So don't do that. because you don't know.
Taking something more mundane like feeling, painful feeling comes in different levels, right? Different intensities, from very subtle to very intense.
But it's not what the Buddha taught. That's why I want to clarify. It
seems to me, excuse me,
you hold it,
I'm wondering really, I don't know how to say it. I'm wondering how genuine you are sometimes, because I hear a lot of people saying things like Robert was talking about different levels of feeling. We know some levels are very, very painful, and I don't think it's unreasonable to equate that with different levels of punya. Some it's very subtle and hardly to recognize, and some of the arahato.
Sure.
I
just want to show... We show references in the text.
How many akusala cetasikas are there?
Akusala cetasika. Can't remember the numbers, but undo the math. Yeah, 12. No, 12 chittas,
no.
Not cetasikas.
Akusala cetasikas.
18.
Speculation.
Four
arise.
Yeah, four universal, and then... Okay. Three loba mula. I have to recite each.
Yeah.
No.
18, 16. Oh, 14.
14.
Okay.
Number is 14, right? And how many are asava? And how many are anusya? And how many are nivarana? And how many are sanyojana?
Nivarana, 5.
Yes, it means what?
Hindrances.
Why, it's not asava, it's nivarana.
I think it's also asava.
No.
No?
No? Not at all.
Because I'm only familiar with the Abhidhamma.
Is that wrong understanding or right understanding of Abhidhamma when one thinks that Abhidhamma is in the book and number? But actually, at this moment, Dhamma is Paramada Dhamma.
So you
and
mean
Abhidhamma.
That among the 14 akusala cetasika, there are different intensities?
Yeah.
Because the
anusya,
right.
Like anusya or nivarana?
Anusya, the latent tendencies, not even conditioned, like the latent tendency of dosa, not even conditioned dosa to arrive. And the asavas are, like I said in the session, so subtle, not known, so... After seeing or hearing the asavas arise,
I don't think that we compare one cetasika to another. One cetasika.
Let's talk about dosa. What about dosa? Because you want references in the text, so there may be such minor irritation we have no idea about it, or such strong dosa that it conditions harsh speech, so different degrees, and you ask for references. So Jan says this is why we read about asavas and nivaranas and samyojanas. It shows different degrees and intensities.
References in the Abhidhamma. I mean the Abhidhamma idea, because sutta is conventional idea. We can say, you know, this one is strong dosa or not. But in the absolute sense, I don't find any reference.
But we read about all these classifications in the Abhidhamma. We read about nivaranas and asavas and samyojanas.
Yeah, but it doesn't say that a particular cetasika is stronger in this moment and weaker in other moments. That's
what about when it talks about karma and kamapata? What about when the anger is so strong that one kills an elephant? Isn't that pointing to a degree of dosa that is different from the dosa in common life?
Probably because
so that it can bring the results.
Different mental processes, but the particular cetasika, I don't know if we can claim that a particular cetasika is strong and weak in different times.
I don't know about the Abhidhamma, but certainly the commentary is talking about heat. They give the examples of, I think the Buddha in the suttas, talked about heat at a very strong level and heat at a very...
They're all conventional.
There are all these akusala classes classified in sutta too.
Yeah.
Sangyojana sutta and so on.
There,
because I heard lots of scholars say that there's no such a classification of intensity of a citta and cetasikas in the Abhidhamma at all. So I find it
like the
you mean like powers.
Sorry,
no,
let's say we pick up one cetasika and we say, okay, at this moment because of condition is strong. In other moments, because of conditions, it's weak. But according to the Abhidhamma scholar, they say there is only when it arises or not arises. We can't say it's strong or weak.
What about what Jonathan said about the bala, for example? Mm. That's strength, right? That is the word.
Power.
Power, yeah? When it's
indriya.
The indriya and the bala.
So
it's referring to the strength.
The strength.
The strength of
panya
the...
Panya is a bala. Panya is an indriya.
When virya becomes an enlightenment factor, it's not like virya.
I don't think that means that panya in this moment is stronger than panya in other moments.
Well,
it just said
for the same individual, you mean? You talk about the same individual. Strong one moment a week, next.
Panya is panya. It doesn't depend on the individual. It's just a cittasika that arises.
It arises in a stream.
It's got certain quality and the Abhidhamma classifies it as a panya, cittasika, and I wonder whether that Dhamma has different intensity.
Yes, it does. That's why it's called sometimes
indriya,
sometimes
bala. That's
the
meaning of bala. It means power. It becomes powerful.
It's developed.
Like now, panya is not powerful. Only when it's developed does it become powerful.
You talk about Adhisila.
Yes.
Could you tell me a little more about Adhisila?
It's not ordinary sila because it has to be with panya.
So it has to be with panya.
Yeah, Adhisila, Adhisitta, and Adhipanya together.
So we can say that it's different levels.
There cannot be only Adhisila. There must be three together.
Can we say, do they relate to those different fields, the different objects, like in memory?
It has to go with panya.
It has to go with panya.
Because before the Buddha's enlightenment, sila were observed, but no right understanding of what sila is, so I am observing sila.
It has to refer to development of satipatthana.
Oh, really? It can't be with the Samatha people before the Buddha's time. That's not Adhisila.
No, so it has to be Adhisila. Adi means higher. It has to be moment of satipatthana with the right understanding of reality.
In terms of banya, Kevin, there are various levels of banya. Because you know, reading the Abhidhamma, there's the banya at the level of becoming a sotapanna and sakadagami, anagami.
Sorry,
it's not the same. It develops. If it stayed the same, then there wouldn't be a distinction in the levels of enlightenment.
No, different combinations.
For what combinations would be different? If they're all the
less,
same intensity.
Less fetters.
So why in some cases it eradicates more fetters than others?
I think I don't think we're in a position of using our own idea because it seems logic, but in the classification of Dhammas there's nowhere that it says that the citta and cittasika are strong here and weak there.
I think that when it talks about the panya of the arahat being of the degree that it eradicates all kalesa, I think it's saying a lot about the strength.
I must say at this point, I can't help but thinking of the Brahmajala Sutta, which you spoke about today, Sira, with one of the types of people is known as an eel wriggler. You know, like, no matter what I said, they have a way of just,
But anyway, I think it's good to keep asking questions until one's totally satisfied.
Also, what about the wisdom the Buddha, or the commentaries too, talk about Sariputta as being an arahat, but wiser than other arahats, am I right?
Yeah.
Sariputta was given the top rank
yeah.
for wisdom? Why is he given more rank than another arahant?
I think it's just a conventional teaching, and we talk about Abhidhamma, there's no Sariputta.
What about the Patisthapa?
What sort of thing in the Abhidhamma are you looking for? What would there be in the Abhidhamma that would explain that there are different levels of
different intensities?
Well, what would there be? Can point out that in a particular session that it says that, you know, certain Dhamma is stronger and weaker because Dhamma is absolute, you know. It's divided, no further division, no degree. There's yes or no.
Because the Panya or any a given Dhamma has the same...
If it has degrees, then it's not further, and it can be further divided.
It has the same characteristic and manifestation, approximate cause, and so forth. So
yes.
Whether strong or weak.
So if strong or weak, then those four conditions are different.
No, they're the same.
The same characteristic.
That's the point. All those things are the same, regardless of the strength.
So how can they be different in strength?
Because
different intensities.
Differences in shape and form.
Are you trying to say that Abhidhamma is wrong?
No, I'm trying to say that we are wrong if we say there are different intensities in Dhammas. Because we can't find no references in the text. We just use our own...
I have already told you about
We've been giving non-stop references.
I think they're all conventional references.
What about seeing, Kevin? Is that the same? Always the same? Is seeing
object always the same?
Is seeing always the same? Or is colour always the same? Or are they different?
In the process, the nature is the same.
Mm-hmm. But say colour. Is colour always the same or is it varied?
What do you mean by colour?
The visible object.
Different.
Mm-hmm. So why not different for
Abhidhamma doesn't say it's different.
It's a
visible object.
Yeah, but this is but it's divided. You know, you say color is not the primary rupa.
It's when better to use
primary rupa, it's the same.
Oh.
So when we come to the point that we cannot divide Dhamma further, then they should be the same.
But color is still an ultimate reality. It's rupa ayatana, right? Rupa ayatana.
No, color is a concept.
We cannot
it's better to use the word visible object.
I don't want to get into this discussion. That's going off on a tangent.
It's visible, that can be seen.
Yeah.
Mm. That's real.
Yes.
So
who's the Buddha?
Shakyamuni.
No understanding? A greatest understanding. What is meant by greatest?
Conventional term.
So Buddha is conventional?
No, I mean when we say great.
Greatest, highest.
Greatest compassion. What does it mean, greatest compassion?
It's just a conventional term that we refer to the quality of the Buddha. But there's no Buddha, there's just Dhamma.
But those conventional terms are a reflection of the ultimate realities, right?
It doesn't matter. It's mm-hmm. still conventional. There's no Buddha. There's just citta.
But yes, but we're talking about a mental factor, panya or karuna, compassion. And when we say the greatest panya or the greatest karuna, we're talking about a particular mental factor.
Yes.
And we're saying
karuna
that the
karuna. There's no great karuna.
The karuna of the Buddha is different from the karuna we may have.
Kuntujin was just reminding us there that the Buddha took 4 asankhyas and 100,000 kalpas to develop that wisdom. He was known as a wisdom Buddha. There are many other different types of Buddhas. Some Buddhas are known as sadha Buddhas, but they still have to develop a unbelievably high level of panya to become Samma Sambuddho. And it really, I'm just absolutely intrigued when you say that it's just all conventional, and I'm wondering...
Not panya, jnana. When you have the word jnana, you can refer to certain quality, but panya is a particular cittasika. Then you can't say,
I think
panya is
I think you've got a confused notion when you. It's true that paramita dharmas are those dharmas that cannot be broken down, but that doesn't mean that there aren't different kinds and degrees like ekagata or virya or different kinds, but when it arises, it cannot be broken down. It's just its nature as it is. So I think there's a misunderstanding of what that means when you read about how it is the ultimate reality.
I understand like that.
But it's just how it is, but it doesn't mean that every time virya arises in every instance that it's exactly the same. It isn't. It has different degrees, different qualities. Right. The virya that arises with the citta when there's robbing a bank is different from the virya which arises.
Yeah, then I wonder why did the text explain it clearly?
I think
it seemed to be very obvious in logic
I think
to
that,
us, but why did the text?
No, it's the problem is not the text. The problem is the accumulated ignorance, so that when we read the text, it's not clear to us. And that's why when there's more understanding, whether one's reading the Abhidharma or the Suttas or Vinaya, it's talking about just the same realities.
No bad droppers, and no thing that we can compare intensity in the text.
Actually,
only,
excuse me, absolutely.
What about when it talks about Kamapata? It's talking about robberies and stealing as opposed to ordinary attachment like now.
And there's a brilliant sutta dealing with robbers, Chora, Pali word chora, it's one of my favourite suttas, when the Buddha talks about the sense, the eye door, when they're like robbers in the village. It's called the Chora Ghataka Sutta or something like that. Is that how the eye door is always misinterpreting what is seen? I must try, but it is actually referred to as a sutta about thieves in the village. And I'm trying to, and I can't.
Village raiding thieves, yes.
Yeah, village raiding thieves.
Robbers.
Yeah, that's right. And now, can you help me more with that? Anybody?
You're looking for the name of it?
No, just with that sutta. I'm just trying to get. If I hear one or two things, I'll be able to clarify.
We better finish, and I'm sure Ajahn needs to get some rest.
Just reminded of what Ajahn said, when there's right understanding, no conflict, because Abhidhamma is about our life. So when there is right understanding, no conflict between daily life and what you find in the text.
And any time there's an idea of I should do or I should follow or I should practice, that is when there is conflict. It's not understanding what is in the Abhidhamma.
And last thing for me, you said that it seems logical about that there should be different intensities, but you can't find that exact phrase. But to me, it's the Abhidharma, although it's deep, it also agrees with daily life completely.
It's not my idea. It's lots of scholars' ideas.
Lots of scholars, really?
Yeah,
I haven't read
that's
them.
That's why I want to bring it up. It's not my
idea. I haven't seen these scholars saying this, to be honest. But
well,
it's interesting.
This is a part of my study. That's why I find it a bit strange.
I think they might have the wrong idea.
It doesn't always mean that it's done with right understanding.
Yeah, but we have to understand the text correctly. That's the first step, right? When we don't find one danger is, you know, we, as Ajahn said, that we have to understand each and every word. Sometimes it seems to be logic, but we have to really understand it according to the Buddha's intention.
Only logic, but not reality.
Then it's useless. You know, it's logical that there is intensity in everything. But Buddhism actually surprised everybody that there's a logic that there is a self.
Yeah.
But the Buddha says no self. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if we're taking intensity as a concept.
But you see that everything is different or the same.
Different.
By?
Sorry?
By what?
By what?
By different combinations of Dhamma.
Mm-hmm.
Different
conditions.
Conditions, yeah.
At any time.
There are.
That's why there can be very weak attachment and very strong attachment, right? No matter what word we use.
Well, conventionally we can say so.
But if reality is not so, how can there be such word weak and strong?
Strong and word is not absolute reality.
But the reality.
I
never
heard this point
before.
But
yeah, I agree with you. Similar things, right? Kinect says it's all
color. I never heard someone saying that there can't be degrees of attachment or anger.
I never heard that.